The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Ketubot has been dedicated by our dear friend Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu. May the zikut of the limud of Masechet Ketubot stand for him that he should have Be'azat Hashem, Hashanah Tovah Mborechet, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, Shalom Bayit V'Hatzlacha Bechol Ma'aseh Yadav. And Be'azat Hashem, may he continue to be a supporter of Torah and all holy projects. Amen. Daf Kaf. Today's daf is being studied in Mishpat of Rav Ben Esther. Today's daf is being studied for Ashidama of Yosef ben Sarah, Rahamim ben Adel, ben Sarah bat Rachel. Irna refarad him betok shalach le'amu Yisrael. Amen. We begin today's daf on Yud Tet Amud Bet, and we are starting from the Braita. It is 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines from the bottom. Tanu Rabbanam. Now we have a case. Shenayim Hatumim al Ashtar. You have two people that are signed on the Shtar, Umetu. And what happened? They died. Or not they died, but they're not around. You can't find them. Ubao Shnayim in Ashuk. Two other people come along from the market. Ve'amru Yadanu Shktav Yadamu. Come along and say, so we know their signatures. They're coming to Mekayim the Shtar. Abal Anusim Hayu. But they were signing it against their will, which means they were forced to sign it. Or they tell them, Ketanim Hayu. Or they say, we know these signatures, we know who these people are, but they were minors when they signed. Or, Pesudei Aidut Hayu. Or let's say at the time that they signed, they were considered Pesudei Aidut. Hare Elu Ne'emanim. They have a Ne'emanut. Again, we're using the principle of what? Hapesh She'asar, Hapesh She'etid. V'im Yesh Aidim Shekitav Yadam Uzeh. But if, let's say, witnesses come along, and they come along and say that the shtar is a good shtar, or let's say we're able to verify their signatures based on another shtar that they signed, and that shtar came up into question, and now Beit Din had to verify that other shtar, which means when you verify a shtar, you can't just compare signatures to another shtar. You have to compare it to a shtar that there was a question on that shtar, and Beit Din went and verified it. Therefore, now this second shtar is a verified shtar. Now you can use it to compare the witnesses on the first shtar that we're trying to verify now. So the bottom line point is that if, let's say, they verified the testimony of these witnesses in the shtar from somewhere else, so now when these guys come along and say, hey, listen, we're telling you that these are the signatures, but they were ketanim, or they were anusim, and all that, we don't believe them, because you don't have a pesha asar, a pesha yetir, because the shtar is being mikuyam from another place. Good. So comes the Gemara and says, "Umagbinan be kibishtara me'alia." What are you telling me? That it's a regular shtar, which means once already you have the two witnesses signing in the shtar, and it was mikuyam from a different place, I don't pay attention to these other two witnesses that are coming now. That are saying, listen, they were ketanim, they were pisulim. Smash from the Gemara. It's a regular shtar. You could use it to get paid. No problem. The Gemara is questioning. What? You're going to allow the shtar to take a payment like a regular shtar? Why would you? What do you mean? It's two witnesses against two witnesses. Which means, bottom line, you have what's called hachasha. What is hachasha? You have two witnesses in the shtar. They're coming along and saying, what? There was a transaction. Two other witnesses are coming along and saying, what? Listen, this was a... they were ketanim. There was no transaction over here. So when you have two witnesses against two witnesses, you got to deal with it. Here it's master from the Gemara. The star is a regular star. Don't pay attention to the second two witnesses. It's nothing. What are you talking about? It's two witnesses against two witnesses. The Kaura, it should weaken the validity of the star to a certain extent. How come you're telling me the star is going to be kasher? Amar Rav Sheshat. You know what Rav Sheshat says? Zot omeret. This teaches me. Hachasha tehilat hazamahi. Oh. There's two ways that witnesses can become invalidated. Either through hachasha or hazama. Let's review quickly the two terminologies. Hakasha means they contradicted. You come along and saying this is the facts. Two other witnesses come along and saying, no, you got your facts wrong. That's not contradictory witness testimony. There's another way to contradict witnesses. That's through hazama. Hazama means that the second set of witnesses comes along and says, how did you testify on such and such a day? You with us. That's hazama. Now the law of hazama says, va'asitim lo kasher zamam. The law is that the original witness, whatever they were trying to do to the litigant, so now we do to them, if they became muzav. That's a Torah law. So the Gemara wants to say now that it seems that when it comes to hakhasha, we're not saying a man who eat him. Look at this case. This is a classic case of hakhasha. Two witnesses in the start are saying there was a loan over here. Two other witnesses are coming along to saying no. They were ketarim. There's no loan. So this is a contradictory testimony. And what is the Gemara assuming over here? The start is a good start. You don't believe the second witnesses at all. And therefore, start is legitimate. So the Gemara says, must be, you learn from here, that the hakhasha process is the beginning of the hazama process. Which means that the laws of hakhasha follow the same rules to a certain extent like the laws of hazama. Now what are some of the laws by hazama? So the Gemara speaks out. Ukshem she'en mezimin et ha'adim ela bifneihem. Just like you don't make hazama only in front of the witnesses, which means the law of hazama, I have a peskim in the Torah for this. Two witnesses come in front of Beit Din and they come along and say, hey, those guys that came to Beit Din 2 weeks ago, they were with us. That's not hazama. Hazama must be done in front of the original two witnesses. Everybody has to be standing in court. There are four witnesses now standing in court. You have the original two, and then you have the other two in front of them coming along and saying, you with us. That's she. Sha'arehim ba'im nahayivam kedeh le'onchan. These second witnesses are going to cause punishment to these first witnesses. Or nefesh, or their life. Or mamon. V'atorah amra v'u'ad b'ba'alav. Yavo ba'al ashor v'ya'amod ad-soro. Which means you want to come along and punish somebody, you got to do it in front of him. Mm-hmm. So therefore, by hazamad, the second testimony must be in front of the first testimony. So the Gemara says, "Kach el machreshim et ha'edim ela bifneim." So too, when it comes to hakhasha, where you're just making a contradictory testimony, it also has to be bifneim. Oh, now we understand the din of the Gemara. Since where are these first witnesses that are in the shtar? The first one in the shtar, they're dead. Mm-hmm. Right? That was the case. They died. So now what's happening? These second witnesses are coming along and making hakasha. Hakasha is nothing. It's not bifnehem. And therefore, that's why we're saying the start is a valid start, because we pay no attention to the second set of witnesses bichlal, because I'm going to say that. What? Hakasha follows the same guidelines as hazama. That's what it means. Hakasha, not hazama. And that's why the start is a valid start. Comes Gibran and says, what are you talking about? Amba le'rav Nachman. Ilu avu kaman. Man says Sivara. Let's say the witnesses of the star were there. Umachishin lehu. And they were machish. Hava hakhasha. Then you say it would be hakhasha. Velo hava mishkain and behu. Right now already, we're not going to pay attention to the star. Dehavidu edut mukheshet. Good. That's the Gemara's Klaus saying now. Which means, let's say everybody was in front of each other. Then you say, what hakhasha is hakhasha. And the star now is batil. Hashta delitnehu. Now that they're not in front of us. Di'ilu avu lekaman. Because if they would be in front of us, dilma avu modelehu. Maybe they would have been maskim. Which means could be their edut in the star. Those two witnesses, when they were being contradicted, they would have came along and said, you know what? You were right. So therefore the Gemara says, mehemne? They're going to be believed, which means the Sivara Rav Nachman is coming along and saying, how could you tell me over here that what? That you're going to believe the Edut of the Shtar, and you pay no attention to the second set. And what's your logic? It's got to be Bifanav. If they're not Bifanav, it's like Hazama, means nothing, the Edut of the Shtar are okay. So Rav Nachman cannot accept such a fact. You're telling me what? That if they're here and come and testify, in that case over there, you tell me what? Then the start is going to be batir. And if they're not here, you want to tell me it's going to be worse? How do you know? Potentially, if they're not there, could be if they were going to be there, they would have been modeh, which you don't know. And therefore, he's coming along and saying, how could you give the shtar and the emanut even when the witnesses are not there? Mm-hmm. Again, if the Eidim were there, two against two, you clearly tell me in this Gemara what? That's considered hakasha. And therefore the shtar is batel and you cannot take payment. So then I'm not just arguing, who adin? If the witnesses would not be there, because they're not in front of each other. Because how do you know? Potentially, if they were going to show up, it's possible that they would have agreed. So you're going to tell me what? In the case where they were in front of each other and agreed, the shtar is going to be batel. But when they're not in front, the shtar is going to be good? That doesn't make sense. Which means lechaora, the shtar should not have a ne'emanut. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, hashta, fourth line. Di'ika le'memar. Ilu avu kaman avu mudu la'anu amrit mehemne. Rav Nachman cannot accept that you tell me the shtar has no validity over here. Because your logic is telling, well, listen, it's not b'fanav. Oh, so what are you talking about? If it was b'fanav, and the shtar is going to be batel, so now that it's not b'fanav. But you don't know what would have happened. You don't know, now it's not b'fanav. Maybe if it would have been b'fanav, they would have been maskim. They would have agreed. They didn't mishtar and said, you know something? You're right, we were kitanim. So therefore, even if it's shelo b'fanav, since there's a potential that what? That they could have been maskim if it would have happened b'fanav, you cannot tell me that shelo b'fanav is not going to have a, is going to, the shtar is going to be still valid. It should still have the ability to mevatel the shtar. If b'fanav is mevatel, shelo b'fanav should also be mevatel. That's the Nachman's claim. So the Gemara says, you're right. In l'amar of Nachman, uki tre lehade tre. It's two against two. Even though these witnesses are dead, it's two against two. And therefore, the uki mamona behizkat mare. Keep the money where it is. Whoever's holding the money, which means the borrower, in this case over here, is holding the money, don't pay anything. Me, which means what? He's coming along and defining the case of Nachman. It's two against two. You said above that what, the star is a good star? It's not a good star. The star now is pending. There's a safek on the star. What do you do when you have a safek on the star? Everybody hold. Everybody hold their money, nobody give anything. Uki mamoneh b'chazkat mareh. So comes the Gemara, okay, Rashi, uki mamoneh b'chazkat mareh, b'chazkat al-loveh. Correct, if let's say the loveh, the borrower. The im karkahi, oh, now let's say it was a real estate deal. Ta'amod b'chazkat al-mukhir. So then, when it comes to real estate, the original chazakah is always the seller. Which means, let's say he sold it, okay? So now the buyer has it. But the buyer is never considered the original, the hazakah. Hazakah always is mare kama, the original owner before the sale. In money, we look at it different. In money, we look at it, who has the money? Who's holding the money? Right, the possession when it comes to the money. But when we look at real estate, the possession always is going to the seller. Because he was the one that had the hazakah, he was holding the field from before. It was established that he was the owner. In any event, look at Rashi. Ugdetani bebaraita in the imanim. But Rashi has a problem. What did it say? You have two witnesses that come along, and they challenge the. They say that the witnesses in the shtar are minors. So we said in the imanim, they're not believed. And now we're not saying in the imanim. Now we're saying really, they are believed. It's two against two. So Rashi says lol deleve shtara me'elya lemigbebe. It means that what? Not the pshat that the shtar. Of course, you're not going to be able to use the shtar. The pshat is you don't rip up the shtar. That's what it means. When it says in the imanim, they're not in the imanim, which means now the malveh cannot use the shtar to take money because it's two against two. But what? You don't rip it up. You don't rip up the shtar now because it's two against two. Nafkamina. If let's say the malveh now, the lender, grabbed the money out of the borrower's hands. He holds it. He keeps it. Because bottom line is two against two. So therefore, there's nafka minot over here. So let's review again. You have the start over here with sign. Right? Malvez, this guy owes me money. Two other witnesses come along and say, listen, this start over here, that guy was a minor. The witnesses were minors. So now the Gemara says, Kotel Rav Nachman, it's two against two. What's the deen two against two? Push. Keep the money by the love. Oh, but it says in the imanim in the statement. They're not ne'eman. Not ne'eman means the malveh cannot use this shtar to go get paid because it's two against two. But don't rip up that shtar. What do you mean? If I can't use it to get paid, why should I hold the shtar? Nafka minaf, the malveh goes and grabs the money from the loveh. He said, listen, it's my money. So now Betin cannot take it out of his hands because Barman, he has the shtar in his hands and it's safek. So therefore, the shtar is going to say, Safek, we're not telling him to go grab the money. But once he grabs the money, he gets to keep that money. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says, Avad delo karina levi'i tafis. Midi, if he grabs it, Vahadar ateh. And he comes to the Beit Din, hi, the other guy, the Loveh, Vetabal, Mine, lo mafkinan mine. Damrinan, uki tre lebade tre, umamuna be'azkat heka ka'e. It's two against two, and Maveh is holding the money. Which is just like when the Loveh was holding money, you said, uki mamune be'azkat mare. So now the Maveh is holding the money. Uki mamune be'azkat. The three and two is the same thing. Idahavi an nikse de bar shatya. It's like the story of the property of bar shatya. The bar shatya zavin nikse. Bar shatya, he bought, or he sold his property. He sold his real estate. Atu betre. So what happened? Two witnesses came along and said, Amre, kishehu shote zavin. He sold it when he was a shote. He was out of his mind. He didn't have his da'at. So therefore, what are they trying to say? The sale is not a sale. The atu betre, two other witnesses come along and say, the amni kishu halim zavin. He sold it when he was healthy. So now it's two against two. So what do we say? Amar avashe, uki tre lehade tre, v'uki mamona b'hazkat bar shatya. So where do we put the property? By bar shatya. Why? Because I told you, by real estate, the hazakah belongs to the original, to the seller, because it was by him. So you see what? Two against two, it's a push. And then what do you say? Keep everything in the status. Bar shatya holds on to the property. Gemara says, wait. Velo amran ela di'it lehazakah d'abhateh. It's only talking about a case where he has a hazakah that he inherited this property from his father. Meaning, where you know that bar shatya has a hazakah that the property was legally his. How would you know it's legally his? Which means his father, let's say, inherited it to him. But let's say, bar shatya, he didn't get the field from his father. So now, he's not considered the original owner then maybe. Why? Maybe I'll say, he bought it when he was a shote, and therefore the property can belong even to the new guy. Again, to make a hazakah in real estate, we have to figure out that he was the original owner. Before this question came up, how do you establish he was the original owner? So the Gemara is saying, well, if you know that his father bequeathed it to him, so for sure you know the hazakah was, it was his. He got it from his father. Good, now you just have a question, the new sale. Was he crazy or was he sane? Two witnesses against two witnesses. You know, we say what? It's a push. Therefore, keep the field by Bar Shatya, because he had the hazakah. How do you have a hazakah? But he got it from his father. But if he didn't get it from his father, let's say he purchased it. So now you can come along and say, well, according to those witnesses that are saying he's crazy now, when he sold it, maybe he was crazy when he bought it. And therefore he has no hazakah himself. So in that case, we don't say you keep the field by Bar Shatya. You only keep it by Bar Shatya when you have a sevarat to say he is the, we call it Hizkat Marekama. Marekama means the original owner. Hizkat Mare Kama. Look at Rashi. Velo Amran di uki nikhse b'hizkat bar shatya. We don't keep the money by bar shatya. Ela di itne b'nechasim alalu hazaka d'avhata. Shayu shel abotav. The hazaka me'aliyat. That's a good hazaka. Avalete bihu hazaka d'avhata. Ela hazaka d'nafshe. Bar shatya has his own hazaka. How? Shekan'an hu. He bought them. V'huzeku b'yado. I'll say, just like he bought it, that's how he sold it. If I'm not going to say it's chazakah that he has it, it's going to uproot his sale. I'll say, just like he sold it, he was crazy. He bought it when he was crazy. If he has no chazakah, good. Amar Babu, new case. En mizimin ta'edim ela bifneim, like we learned, you don't make hazama until you're in front of the witnesses. Umachishin ta'edim, but when it comes to akasha, Shelo umachishin ta'edim shelo bifneim. Again, Amar Avavu, en mizimim ta'edim ela bifneim, umachishin ta'edim shelo bifneim. But hakhasha can be done even shelo bifneim. Ve'hazama shelo bifneim. Oh, now let's say they made hazama shelo bifneim. Right? The two witnesses came to Beit Din. The other first two guys were not there. And the second two witnesses came along and said, they were with us. It's not considered azama. However, it's still considered testimony. It's contradictory testimony. Meaning we accept their testimony, but not as azama, but as hakasha. Again, two witnesses came to Beit Din. They testified in some type of item. They left. Two other witnesses showed up. They came along and said, are those two guys that testified in such and such a transaction? How can they testify? They were with us. Hazama, it's not going to be. Meaning, we're not going to make the first two witnesses now pay, or we're not going to punish them based on the second two witnesses, because hazama can only be bifanav. But what? We don't throw out those second two witnesses. It's still considered a testimony, meaning to contradict the first two witnesses. Now it's two against two, and if everything is considered status quo. Now this is because you might have argued and said, listen, if they're coming with the claim of Hazama, and they're not Bifanav, maybe they're invalid in totality. Kamash will not know. If Hazama is not done Bifanav, it's considered Hakasha, it's just considered contradictory testimony, and therefore it's considered two against two. Amar Mor. Let's say you had witnesses. We learned in the Braita that came along and validated the shtar. Or let's say they were able to validate the shtar from a different shtar that they had these witnesses' names on it. Meaning on a shtar that was a question came up on it, and Beit Din had to validate the shtar. So then, which means when you come to validate witnesses on a shtar, you can't just look at another shtar and say, oh, there are witnesses here, witnesses there. You have to have a shtar that itself is validated. Now, how is a shtar usually validated? A question came up on that shtar. And therefore, Beit Din had to go do their due diligence, and they were mekayem it. So therefore, if they were mekayem the shtar in question, from a shtar that a question rose up from Beit Din, and therefore was validated, so therefore, in the emanim. So then the witnesses that come along and say, ketanim, they're not ne'eman, because they don't have a sivara pesh asad, pesh eti. So Gabriel says, kara ala vi'ur in. Only if the shtar that you're trying to use for the validation, if a question came up on it. Lo kara ala vi'ur, lo. But if you just find another shtar that has these same names on it, that's not considered validation. Misaya ale rabbi aseh. It's a proof to rabbi aseh. The amar of aseh, en mekamim et ashtar, Ela mishtar shekara ala vir'ur ve'ozak be'Beit Din. Good, you can only make a mishtar from another star similar that came into question and Beit Din validated it. Amri nardei said, en mekamim et hashtar, ela mishte ketubot. They come along and say, you want to make a mishtar? No option. Get two places. Even if the two other places were not validated, but if you could find two other shtarot that have these names on them, and you compare the signatures, so then already shtek ketubot, two signed documents, is considered a valid kiyum. Or mishteh sadot. Or let's say, you find their signatures on two shtarot, that what? In a sale of fields. Now, even though the shtarot were not validated, v'hu she'ochlim ba'arim gimel shanim u'beshofi, which means, you see they signed on a field, let's say a start to sell a field. Beautiful. And the guy's living on the field as a result of that transaction for 3 years, and nobody questioned. From the fact that nobody questioned, must be what? It was a true sale. And therefore, if you could find two shtarot that they signed on a real estate deal, that there was no questions, that people came along and protested and stuff like that, then already you could assume that the shtar is the starting question is valid. So now they are telling us a new option here. You can either find one validated shtar in Beit Din, or two regular shtarot in a monetary deal, or two real estate deals that there was no protests on, and therefore is valid. Amar Rav Shimi bar Asher, ubiyotze mitahat yad ehad. Oh. So Gemara says like, yad aher. The Gemara says, now he's trying to validate these witnesses, right? Who's got to produce these shtarot? The shtarot have to come from somewhere else. However, abal miyad atzmo lo. But the witness themselves can't say, oh wait, we have another shtar with these signatures on them. Which means if somebody else comes along and says, yes, those are the signatures, we have another shtar with the signatures, fine. But if they themselves produce it, no good.
Why?
Why, if it's in his own possession, we don't believe him? Dilma ziyufe mezif, because you already forged. Which means if he has a copy of these guys' signatures, right? So he's going to come along now, and he can forge the signatures. Which means the guy himself now, listen, the witnesses are dead. That's the case. Now, this guy's coming along and saying, listen, I'm telling you that this is the signatures. How do you know? You know, I have two other shtarot over here that has their names. Oh, you're holding the shtarot? You have enough time to come along and figure out how to forge. So the Gemara says, well, mitahat yedeh achayr nameh. Well, it's the same logic if they got the shtar from somebody else. Why? Dilma azil. Maybe he went to that guy. Vehaza. He saw the way they signed. Ata vizayif. And he came back and he forged. Gemara says, kule ay lo matzim mechaven. He's not going to be able to figure it out so fast. But just by going and seeing the shtar, and coming back now and forging, it's not going to be accurate. If you have the shtar in your possession where you can study it and look at it, then it's a problem. But we're not going to be oshesh that, let's say, they went to somebody else. Do me a favor, let me see that shtar for a second. They saw the signatures. They went back to the house and forged it. It'd be very hard for them to forge an accurate signature just by looking at a shtar by somebody else. So therefore, the halakha, you get what I'm saying? If the shtar, let's say, is able to be validated, two witnesses there. We don't know who these witnesses are. A guy comes along and says, I'll tell you, those are those guys. How do you know? There's two other shtarot that have these names on, and those transactions went through. They asked them, where did you get that shtar from? What do you mean, I have them. Oh, you're producing them? See you later. That's not a name, Manu. He said, no. I got them from Mr. Ploni. He has a shtarot that have this guy's signatures. Oh, he has a shtarot? Then already there is a name, Manu. Tanu Rabbanan. New case. Kotev Adam Eduto al Ashtar. A guy is able to write his testimony on a shtar. Umeid alea afilu lachar kama shanim. We have a law. The law says like this. Mipiem velo mipi ketabam. A man comes to give testimony. Where does testimony come from? Verbal testimony. It's only verbal testimony is accepted in Beddin. So you're going to ask, what do you mean only verbal? Don't we write in a shtar? So the law is like this. When Edim sign in a shtar, and it's done in front of a Beit Din, so that's considered as if they verbally testified. Good. So therefore, either it's a verbal testimony, and that's what they say, Edim hatumim bishtar, it's kenichkeru edutam bifnei Beit Din. It's as if they testified in front of Beit Din. Good. But now we're talking about a new case. Guy came along, gave a testimony at the Beit Din. But what did he do? He didn't want to forget his testimony. You know, a witness can be called many years later to say, you know, were you the witness? You don't want to forget. It's all verbal. So what did he do? He wrote notes. He went home, took out his ledger. He wrote, on Tuesday, such and such a date, I gave a testimony to such and such a case. Beautiful. Now what happens? He's called. Do you remember such a thing? So he says, well, he goes back home, looks at his notes, and he comes along and says, yes. So now the question is that considered a legal testimony? Because now it's considered mipi ketabo. It's not coming from his own memory, verbal. It's coming now from a written. And written is not good. Yes, if it's a shtar that has two witnesses on it, that's fine. But this is not a shtar with two witnesses. This is his own personal notes. So therefore, the Gemara says, Kotev Adam Eduto al Ashtar. He can write this testimony al Ashtar, Umeid Alea. And he could use the notes to remind him, Afil Har Kama Shanim. That's only if he remembers it from his own Jesus. He looks at the notes, and then he says, yes, I remember the testimony. So he can use the notes as an aid to refresh him. Rav Yochanan Amar, afalpi she'en zochra me'atzmo. Even if he doesn't remember. Which means even if solely he's looking at the notes, he's saying, that's what it says in my notes, and that's enough. Look at Rashi. Shizukhra me'atzmo. Belor iyat tashtar niskar ksat. That's the point, which means he has to remember something according to Rav Huna, even without looking at the shtar. I remember something vaguely. There was a testimony I gave over there. Now he's looking at the shtar just as a refresher. That's okay. However, according to Rav Yochanan, afal pi she'en zukhra me'atzmo, which means he don't remember anything. You don't need any vague memory? Nothing. Only after he looks at the star, now he says, now I remember. Rabbi Yochanan says, it's still okay. Look at that sheet. Ava bishen zo kam also ela la har shru e bistar natam belibo ve niskal shlo nistagam menu kol kach she ke she maskrin lo niskal aval elo niskal le gamre lo da amana be pevdo kum kitaba, which means even according to Rabbi Yochanan that she says after we looked at the star natam belibo he started to analyze and he remembered. But if he doesn't remember nothing, which means if he looks at the star and he still remembers nothing, he's just relying on the star, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not a testimony. So let's just crystallize the machlok between Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan. The guy, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Huna is talking about shezuchrav ma'atzmo. Even before he looks at the paper, he has that vague memory. Oh, so you want to use the paper to refresh? It's okay. According to Rabbi Yochanan, he comes along and says, no, he has to, even before he looked at the paper, and zuchrav ma'atzmo. But what? Once he looked at the paper, now he says, yes, it happened. But even according to Hanan, if he looked at the paper and still doesn't remember anything, and he's just relying on what he saw in the paper that he was aware, not going to be good. Amar Rav Ashi, Ma'amina, Med Rabbi Yochanan. What do you learn from Rabbi Yochanan? Hani Betre. Diyad Ayah Sehodota. You have two guys, they know testimony. Umanche Had Minayu. Umanche. They gave testimony, they forgot. Had minayu midkar had lehavre. So one witness can remind the other witness. Two guys gave a testimony. One of the guys forgot. So the other witness can go to him and say, listen, don't you remember what happened over there? We were there, we went, we did. Because Rabbi Yochanan says the guy doesn't have to have a memory. But so long as when you tell him, it comes back to him, it's enough. Because he goes, ibaidu, atzmo mai. What's the question? Nashi. In ba'al din atzmo maskiro achin eskar mai. Could the litigant remind the witness? Which is, could the guy himself come along and say, what do you mean, don't you remember? He's the guy on trial. He's the guy that they're telling him, he's the malveh, let's say. Right, the malveh says, don't you remember, you were there? So, could he be the one that refreshes the memory? So the Gemara says, ibaidu atzmo mai. Rav Habiba amar afidu atzmo. Even the Madveh, let's say. No. We don't trust him. Because he's going to start embellishing. He's going to start coaxing him. He's a nogeya. The Gemara said, halakha. The litigant himself is not really there. However, if let's say the witness is a tamid hakam, afidu atzmo. Even the Madveh can come along and remind. Why? Like the story of Rav Asher, he was a witness for Rav Kana in a transaction. Amar le, so Rav Kana tells Rav Asher, mi dachir mor, hay saduta. He tells Rav Asher, Rabbi, do you remember when you were a witness for me? Amar le, lo. He tells him, I don't remember. Velav hachi v'hachi ava, don't you remember this happened? Amar le, lo yadana. Rav Asher says, I don't remember. Le sof itkar. At the end, he remembered on his own, Rav Asher Asid Le. So Rav Asher came to court and testified for Rav Kana. Hajjal Rav Kana Dava Mehassim. So he saw Rav Kana, he was like shocked. What kind of rabbi is this over here? I asked him twice. He said he doesn't have any testimony. Now he comes to the Beit Din and he says, yes, I remember. So he saw, he was like, he was quiet. He was like silenced, Rav Kana. He didn't understand what was going on. So what do you think? I'm relying on that conversation that I had with you before. I picked my own memory, and I remembered. Which is, when I'm coming to Beit Din now, it wasn't because of what you said. I'm remembering it on my own. And therefore they say, Tamir Hakam, when the litigant is going to come along and tell him, listen, don't you remember, we're not worried. The Hakam is not going to go into Beit Din until he himself can remember it on his own. Because a regular guy, you suspect that he can get coaxed by the witness, or not by the witness, by the litigant. And therefore, but a Tamir Hakam, you see the case of Rav Asher, which means he told him, I don't remember. Then he shows up to the Beit Din to testify. Rav Kana says, what are you doing here? He said, well, don't worry. He says, I wasn't relying on what you told me over here. I didn't remember when you said it, but after I thought myself, and I realized that I was a witness for you, therefore he came. So, you're able to trust. Tananatam. Okay, we have a Mishnah. Hatiluliyot. What's a tiluliyot? It's a mound. It's a mound, like a hill. That she says, Tilekaka. The mound of dirt, that she says, fourth line. Vederech ben adam dekbor betil. Used to be in the olden days, they used to bury people in these type of mounds. Mishum de'en ben adam matin min aderech la'avor alav. Which means, people usually don't step over the mounds. So they weren't worried to bury their metim in these mounds, because usually people go around them. Okay? So now we have to discuss over here, you have certain mounds. Which mound do you have to assume that there's a mit in there? And which mound could you assume that there is no mit in there? So the Mishnah says, Tzedim, Hateluliyot kirobot, the ones that are close, ben la'ir, whether they're close to the city, uben la'derech, or they're close to the road, we'll see what that means, echad chadashot, whether they're new mounds, ve'had yeshenot, or whether they're old mounds, teme'ot. So when it comes to the ones that are close to the city, new or old, you have to assume that there's tum'ah in them. Harchokot, the ones that are far from the city, depends. Hadashot, teorot, new mounds, teorot. Yeshanot, shenot, old mounds, teme'ot. Now we got to analyze the law. Look at Ashi. Echad chadashot, these are the ones that are close to the city. She'en zman rachok. Shelo haya kantil, which means they knew, but it wasn't long ago that these mounds were established. It's a relatively new mound. Ti'ika lememar, kevan da hadashai, im itas shenekbar sham met midkar dachid le. Which means you really could assume on a new mound, if somebody was buried there, you'd hear about it. Because it's really current, it's current. Afidu achi teme'ot mesafek. Still is going to be tame. Why? Because it's close to the city. They came on the simucha la'ir. Ikalimar isha yechida alka v'kavra sham nefil shela. You're right next to the city. What happens? A lady had a miscarriage. And therefore she went to bury the baby. Well, not a miscarriage. The baby died, let's say. And therefore you have to bury the baby. So when it's close to the town, you're right. Maybe a lady just went out of the town. She didn't get to the cemetery. She went, she put the baby in this mound over here. And what? Even though it's new and there's a logic to say that on a new mound you'd hear, and you didn't hear anything, doesn't matter. When it's close to the city, you have to assume that ladies will bury their nifalim in these times. But when it's far, look at that, she had hakot, de'en isha yehidao lechitsham. When it's far from the city, ladies are not going to go alone. And therefore you don't have to assume what? That they bury their stillborns over there. Hadashot teorot. Why? De'im ita dinikbar be'avi yud'uneh. A new one that's far from the city is Tahor. Because if something was under there, you'd hear about it. However, Yishenot Teme'ot. Shekavan Nishtaka Hadavar. Because when it's old, you forgot. Maybe at the time when there was talk. But since it's an old mound, what happened? People forgot about it. So then, let's review the halakot that come out of this Mishnah, and we'll just explain it according to the Gemara. The laws of mounds and the laws of Tum'ah from these mounds. Close to the city, problematic. New or old? No good. Why? Well, the old is always no good. Because the old, you're concerned that maybe people forgot what was going on under there. Maybe there's a myth. What about the new? The new next to the city? You're worried ladies might put their stillborns in there. It's a problem. Far from the city? Old, again, a problem. That's the key. Old is always a problem. New, far from the city is okay. Why? Because people don't usually, ladies don't walk all the way far from the city alone over there and put their metim over there. Therefore, you would have heard about it, and therefore you have no problem. So now the Gemara wants to know what's considered close, what's considered far, what's considered new, what's considered old. Right, what's considered close to the city? So Gemara says, 50 amma. 50 amot from the outskirts of the city. And the borderline of the city ends. 50 amma past that, that's considered close to the city. Ladies will go to that distance. Ve'ezwi yeshena. Oh, now what's considered old? So Gemara says, Shishim shana. 60 years. Which means anything less than 60 years is considered new. Anything from 60 years on is considered old. Devre Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, Kirova. What's considered Kirova? She'en Kirova Hemena. Which means that there's nothing closer. which means the closest mound to the city is considered Kirubah. Once there's a mound closer than that one, then the mound behind it is considered Rehokah. Understand? Which means it doesn't go with 50 Amot rule. It means it's one mound, the closest mound to the city. And therefore, if there's a mound, let's say, in front of that one, that's it. That mound in front of it is considered Kirubah. The one behind it becomes Rehokah. Yeshenana, what's considered an old, according to Yehuda, She'en Adam Zuchra. Nobody can remember a time when there wasn't a mound there. He doesn't give a 60 years and all that. Nobody can remember a time when there was no mound. That's considered Yeshenana. Ask anybody in the town. Do you remember when this was flat ground? I can't remember over there. That's right, yeah, that's old. Nobody can remember that there was a time that there was no mound in this place. That's considered old. Good. Now we got to discuss what's considered a city, what's considered a road. So the Gemara says, "My iru, my derech." Because we said close to the city and close to the road. What's the city? What's the road? Idima ir ir mamash derech derech mamash. Maybe tabiyat. Close to the city means a regular city. If a city is close to the city, if a road, it's close to the road. Misifeka mi mahzikin and tumah. We don't know what's under these mounds over here. Are we going to come along now and say misafek that maybe there's somebody dead in this mound? Why? V'amar eshtakish eila matzu v'taru eris Israel. The rabbis found excuses, loopholes, and they were mitaher eris Israel, meaning misafek. The rabbis do not want to stop being mitameh the roads of eris Israel, because you have kohanim walking, you have people that are kadosh, which you don't just go along now in the cities of Israel, the roads of Israel, and start saying things are tameh. On the contrary, the rabbis look for excuses and loopholes to figure out how things are going to be tossed. So when we say city, it just can't mean a regular city in Israel. When you say a road, it just can't mean a regular road in Israel, because the rabbis will not just come to mitameh things, misafek, and then it's Israel, they look to be mitaher. Amar bizera ir, ira simucha lebet hakevarot. It's not a regular city. It's a city that's close to the cemetery. Which means you have the city, right? So you have to get to the cemetery. So this is the city that's close to the cemetery. So it's not a regular city. V'derech, derech bet hakevarot. Derech bet hakevarot is the road that leads to the actual cemetery itself. So what is the city close to the cemetery? And what is the road that leads to the cemetery? So the Gemara analyzes. Bishlamat derech bet hakevarot. So that means you found the mound on the road to the cemetery, right? I understand why you want to tell me it's tameh. The zimnin de mitrameh ben Hashem Ashot. Could be somebody was coming on Friday to bury their dead. And what happened? Umakru, and now the situation after Shabbat came. Kabru betel. So they had no choice but to put him in this mound. Since it's next to the cemetery, sometimes people don't calculate the time the right way. So on the way to the cemetery, they're walking far. They figure, we have time, we'll get to the cemetery. All of a sudden, what happens? They look at the watch. Oh, Shabbat is coming now. Now we're stuck. So what are they going to end up doing? They're going to do a rush. They're going to stick the mitt in a mound. So if on the roads to the cemeteries, you have to be concerned for these people that were late on Friday. Therefore, you have to be hoshesh. Correct. Before sunset. Huh? No. Any sunset, they walk to the cemetery. On a regular Tuesday night, if it starts to get dark, they bury at night. You're allowed to bury at night. The only reason why they don't bury at night in America is because it's against the law. But in Israel, they bury at night. According to that, like everywhere else, you bury at night. So the Gemara says, "Ela, ira simucha lebet hakevarot." But you tell me a city that's close to the bet hakevarot, kulihu lebet hakevarot asle. What are you talking about? Why would they bury somebody in the city? If you find it next to the city, they'll just take it to the cemetery, which means nobody's going to be in the city on Friday. You know, that's not the hashash. Which is the road to the cemetery. They got close to the cemetery, the road. Fine, you'll find the mitim in the mounds. But in the city itself, why would anybody be buried in the city? Or next to the city? They would be buried in the cemetery. So the Gemara says, Amar b'hanina, mitok sha'nashim kovrot sham nifnehem. In the city itself, or close to the city, the ladies bury their stillborns. They bury their nefalim. Should they walk a little outside the city? They don't want to walk all the way to the cemetery. Cemetery is far. So they walk, I don't want anybody to see them either. So they walk outside the city, a little close to the city, and they put their nephilim in the mounds. Umuketshin zeraotehin. Oh. And God forbid, people that have sickness where their body parts are either have to be amputated or they're falling off. Now, body parts from a live person is metameh. So what do? They don't walk all the way to the cemetery. They go to the city, they walk next to the city, and they put their body parts, they bury them into these mounds of it. Mukachkan is a guy that has boils all over his body, so his body parts fall off. Now, the Gemara analyzes. Ad hamishim amma azla. She'll walk up to 50 amot outside the city to bury her stillborn. She'll walk alone. She's not scared. Tfeh, but more than that, dabra inish ba'ada ubeta kevarot azla. More than 50 amot, already she's going to walk to the cemetery to bury. She'll walk with somebody else. She'll get escorted. So therefore, what's the law? If you find a mound within 50 amot of a city, whether it's new or old, you have to suspect what? There's tum'ah in there. Why? We're talking about, again, the city itself does not have a cemetery. So you got to walk from the city to the cemetery. Because if they walk to the cemetery, why don't you just say they walk to the cemetery? Because when they're close, they're not scared to walk to that place within 50 amot. They'll go to the lady, they'll bury the mukachin, they'll put his body part in the place. Hilkach, oh, tum'a be'eretz Yisrael, lo mahaskina. But outside of these cases, we don't assume there's tum'a be'eretz Yisrael. Only 50 amot from a city that doesn't have a cemetery, or the road that leads to the cemetery itself. Good? Now the Gemara analyze. Amar of Hazda, shma' mina mirabi mi'ir. For me, we can learn a law of testimony. People remember for 60 years. Because what did the Bimi Meir say? What's considered old? Old is considered after 60. After 60 years already, we forget. Is there a mat in there? Is there not a mat? But up to 60 years, the person remembers. So the same thing we'll say when it comes to testimony. Within 60 years, a person can remember the testimony. But after 60 years, we don't trust him because a person doesn't remember things after 60 years. So that is the cutoff point, the gaber testimony. It's the 60-year rule. Tefeh lo mitkar. Gemara says, no. Nafkamina. If you tell me after 60 years he doesn't remember, so now already when you're going to start reminding him, it's not coming from him. It's going to come from somebody else. What's going to come from the paper? Which means, after 60 years, you tell me a person's memory goes. What's the proof? The proof is from the case of the mounds. What did you tell me? If there's a mound outside the city, and it's an old mound, you have to assume it's tamir. Why? Or even close to the city. Old, it's tamir. Why? Because after 60 years, could be at the time, everybody knew what the status was. After 60 years, people forget. So say the same thing by testimony. Gemara says velohi. It's not so. Hatam hu delo ram yale, aval acha kema de ram yale afilu tuvana me. Big difference. It's not incumbent upon anybody to remember the status of a mound, and therefore, after 60 years, we'll assume that the community forgot the status. But when it comes to a witness, he knows when he testifies, they're relying on him. And therefore, it's on his mind. And therefore, even after 100 years, we're going to come along and say, since it's on him, that he realized that he was being relied on, he's going to be relied on even after 60 years. So there's a difference between stam facts or when you're designated to be a witness. So the poskim discussed, let's say he wasn't designated. Let's say stam he was watching. Could be in that case over there, he doesn't have an emu because he knows they weren't relying on him. Stam he just witnessed something. But when they tell him, listen, you're my witness, it's on his brain not to figure out. So, you know, he might be called up one day to repeat what he saw. So even after 60 years, he has a name. That is the halakha.